This is nice. I haven't talked to you in a while. You've been avoiding us, Mr. John Morosi, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. John Morosi.
Good morning, guys. I do think, as you said, after the result for the Leafs last night, I do assume the Leafs are in dire need of me to come to Toronto again because, of course, we know what happened last time. They started playing very well when I was in Toronto most recently. So we'll see if we can make that happen.
That'd be nice. It'd be nice to see you again. Yeah, they haven't played well, and George's Habs have just been taking it right in the face.
Habs suck.
Well, hey, as I did tweet this last week when I did a little quick hockey research there, I think this does, George, underscore that Carey Price was, in fact, the MVP of the league last year. Basically,
this is true.
His absence explains basically everything that's happening in Montreal right now.
And as you know, I remember when they lost him, George was like, no big deal. No big deal. But turns out it was a big deal, wasn't it?
Huge deal.
And apparently now what we're hearing is that they might shut him down for the season, John.
Well, given where the season is trending for them, I think that may not be a bad decision just because it appears that this whole season, you'd probably time to write it off there based on the way things have gone and come back fresh in 16-17.
John wrote a great article on Edwin and the Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins. Apparently his agent basically said, hey, listen, we really haven't had much contact. We don't have a deal. Not that that's never going to happen, and there's still 7 weeks. But, you know, the self-imposed deadline for Edwin and his agent to get something done prior to spring training is fastly approaching, and a terrific article. What do you know about where things are at? Are they talking at all?
Yeah, Dean. Well, what I was told is that basically, and I spoke with Paul Kinzer, Encarnacion's agent, yesterday. He told me that he did touch base with Ross Atkins a bit at the winter meetings, just sort of a quick conversation there. I think two things. I don't want to overstate the fact that there's no active dialogue right now because who knows? It could just be a simple matter of Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro saying, listen, I want to have a chance to have a full spring training, get around the players, get a feel for the way that the clubhouse works and get a chance to see Edwin in person and get to know him a little bit. So I think that may be one component of it. But the other thing, Dean, that I wonder about is, in general, in the game right now in baseball, there is so much conversation about age curves, where players are, which years you'd be buying up at an extension, and if it's the right years to be buying up. And I think that when you look at Bautista and Encarnacion both, it's possible, and I'm not saying this is definitely the case, but it's possible that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins say, listen, these players are on the other side of 30. Maybe that there is an inherent risk there that they're not comfortable with, and they would like to just play the season out, see where it goes, and then at least leave themselves the flexibility to maybe take things in a younger direction after the season is over, even if the Jays have a great season. I think it's just a matter of that very calculated, basically it's a very age-related calculus that goes on now in the game a lot, and they may just want to leave themselves the flexibility to make that decision after the season is over, even if, Dean, if that means diminishing your chances of re-signing either Bautista or Encarnacion.
So what is it then that's the disconnect? Obviously, age, you say, is one of the things. One of the phrases I keep hearing from Shapiro and Atkins is, we really need to get to know these two guys, and it's driving me nuts because, you know, you go through their stats or you go through Baseball Reference. If you go to Google or YouTube or Twitter, you can quickly understand how important these guys are to the Toronto Blue Jays' window of opportunity in being successful and possibly winning a world championship. So I'm a little confused, and maybe you can help me understand, what is it they're trying to get to know, or are they weighing the importance of their age, where they're at, and as you say, trying to get younger? Is just a time buying phrase?
Maybe, but I also think it's all of the above. I do believe Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins both, and this is to their credit, this is one of the reasons why I think they have a chance to be very successful in Toronto, is that they're very culture focused. They're very much concerned with how certain players fit into the way that they conceptualize their roster. They want to make sure they build a culture that they see as being one that is sustainable. Now, one could argue that obviously the Jays had one of the best cultures in all of baseball last year with the way they played together, and that's something that should not be disrupted. And in fact, it would be important to sign the players that were part of that core for the long term. I think that those are all reasonable ways to think. And I will say this, Dean, I was actually, I checked in with a Jays player yesterday just to kind of see how things were going in Dunedin. And I was told that the players that are already there that have reported are very impressed with the way that the new leadership group of Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, the way they've handled things from a standpoint of just basic player services, making sure players have the resources they need, and then that goes into everything. That's workout facilities and even nutrition and just the whole regimen they have there. That the new players or just even the existing players that have come in have been very impressed with the way that they have done things from a standpoint of player services, you know, settling in for spring training, helping their families get settled, all of those things. So that's something that maybe, you know, again, it's not to say the previous leadership group didn't do that, but I think it's certainly something that the current regime is doing a very good job of, and really I think making a very strong first impression on those players.
John, how hard is that opening day deadline from Edwin Encarnacion's camp to get a contract done?
Well, I think it's pretty hard and fast, George, and I think that really it makes a lot of sense because when you're, hold it.
If they get an offer for $17 million a year for 5 years in July, they're going to say sorry, you missed the window.
It's a fair question, but when I talked to Paul Kinzer yesterday, Edwin's agent, and he basically said Edwin has expressed to me he does not want to have conversations about his contract during the season. He just wants to be able to focus on playing. That's how he feels. So if that's how he feels, one assumes the Jays are going to honor that. And also, I'll say this. Players usually, guys, once they get into their free agent year, it's a really rare player in baseball that signs. Hunter Pence did it a couple years ago, but you almost never see it happen. It's whether it's a psychological thing, a procedural thing. Once you're this close to free agency, and I realize this year some players have sort of been caught in the middle in free agency and haven't gotten the money they expected. In some cases, three at least, they turn down the qualifying offer and still haven't signed, of course, Desmond, Fowler, and Gallardo. But I think that in general, when you're a player, certainly of Encarnacion's caliber, he ranks second in the major leagues in home runs over the last 3 or 4 years. He's going to want to get what he believes is his fair market value. And I know he loves playing in Toronto. And in fact, Paul Kinzer told me, look, Edwin believes that if he has a couple more good seasons, he might be having his number retired as a Blue Jay. He feels like he's been that good there. And really, 6.5 years, it's flown by, but he's been pretty good there for the Jays. So I think it's a real psychological thing, guys. When you're this close to free agency, as Bautista and Encarnacion are, there's a tremendous incentive, whether it's psychological or economic, to just take this thing to free agency. So I really do think, George, to answer your question, I think it's a pretty firm deadline there for Encarnacion at opening day.
It's funny, you know, we were talking about it this morning, that hard deadline really, really, really screws with our minds because, you know, you're thinking in terms of, well, do you let the season play out? And if he's having another humdinger and the team is on fire, then you go, okay, well, it's a lot easier to justify giving him that kind of money that he's looking for in maybe that kind of term. But, you know, what you're saying is very interesting because, you know, maybe Shapiro and Atkins have a completely different understanding about how to handle these guys and what they need to do with this team, and it's not just for this year, it's for the next 5 to 10 years.
Right, and I really do think, Dean, the only uncertainty, I guess, with Encarnacion, if you look at what he's done in recent seasons, is simply just health and staying healthy over the 2016 season. I mean, the new front office, they can look at the numbers, as you alluded to at the beginning of our conversation. They can see the same numbers as everybody else. And as I mentioned, the guy's got the second most home runs in the major leagues in recent seasons. So when you look at that, he doesn't have to prove anything else. It's just maybe a question of how comfortable you are at buying up years 34, 35, 36, and 37 if it's a four-year deal, or 38 even if it's a five-year deal. That's the concern. And I do think, I will say this too, when you look at where Bautista is, of course, he's older than Encarnacion, and you look at where Edwin is, and you realize those years I just mentioned, Encarnacion's deal would start at age 34, Bautista's even older. Realistically, the Jays probably say in the next year or two, if they had them both, one of them is going to have to be the DH because they're getting a little bit older there in years. Of course, Bautista's still a very good defender. But I think that they may be reluctant, guys, to sign them both just because they may feel like internally we've got to realize that one of them is going to be the DH and we can't probably have two DHs making that kind of money. So I think from a standpoint of just balancing their risk, the pure actuarial aspect of this, I think, guys, that they'll probably want to have only one of the two just because I think that they realize the DH role is probably coming for one or both of them.
John, as always, very insightful. Really appreciate you doing this. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Pitchers and catchers this week, my friends. Magical words of the sports world, so I'm very excited about that.